Well, good evening, saints. With that, I got a question. I'm going to give you a choice of three answers. Would you rather be a multi-billion dollar tech CEO or President of the United States or a saint of God? You got it right. We can say amen and go home. Right? Oh, boy. I was just a note of interest. One morning this week, I had finished up my chores, and I went and sat down and got my water, and I pulled out my phone, and I go through YouTube. And it come up, September 23rd, rapture. I went through it some more and come up again, September 23rd, rapture. No. Went through it again, come up. No, rapture, September the 23rd. But it had Jonathan Cahn under there. Now, wait a minute. Now, I got a lot of respect for Jonathan Cahn, okay? How many of you are familiar with him, his writings? Okay. I've read probably every book he's got or wrote, I think. He's got a new one coming out this month. It's called The Avatar. I'm going to pick it up when we're in Tennessee later this month and when I get over to SWR and read it. So that caught my attention with Jonathan Cahn under there. So I clicked on it. Now, I'm going to paraphrase what he said, okay? First of all, he said, I am not setting a date. I am not telling you that the rapture is coming September the 23rd. But he says, just for a matter of fact, he says, every major biblical happening, like the death, the burial, the resurrection, etc. of Christ, and all the major happenings in Scripture happens on a Jewish holiday. And Jonathan Cahn is a Messianic Jew pastor in New Jersey. And highly, highly respected. And he said, just happens to be September the 23rd is the trumpet of the Feast of the Trumpets. So is the Feast of the Trumpets is September the 23rd. So he's saying, if it comes, don't be surprised. But the whole point of it, he ended up at this, the whole point of it, folks, be ready. Whether it's September the 23rd this year, or 10 years or 100 years from now, who knows, who cares? But his point was, is one, we got a major Jewish holiday coming up this month. Things happen at that time. But above all, be ready for his coming, because it can come. And he said, like he said, the scripture says, no man, you don't know when he's coming. He's going to come when you least expect it. So now maybe he won't come the 23rd because now you're expecting it. Okay. All right. Just a note of interest, something there. All right. The last time I was with you, we started, I'm going to start this series and called Knowing God's Secrets. And I only give you part of the introduction, and it's going to take the rest of the evening here to. I want to review just a little bit. I know you remember everything that we said 2 weeks ago, but I want to review a little bit anyway and then continue on with the introduction. And then next week we'll start on some of these secrets. But I want to go back to our major scripture in 1 Corinthians and to give us a little understanding of what we are talking about, the secrets of God. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians, in the second chapter, in verse 12, reading from the Amplified, as usual, he says, now we have received not the spirit of this world, If you're a born-again believer and you've accepted Christ as your Savior, the spirit of this world that we live in should not be in you. Okay? He says, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, that Holy Spirit is what is in you and indwells in you. The reason why, he says, so that we may know and understand the wonderful things freely given to us by God. Now, what things? There is a lot of them. There's a lot of things. And these keys or these secrets from God, you know, to put it, he says that you might know these things. And to put it simply, that we have received, that is the Holy Spirit, that we might know. That we might know. And the tragedy is that many people have received, but they don't know it. They just don't know it. If I gave you a box full of $100 bills and it was all wrapped and taped up and you took it home and threw it up in the shelf of your closet and went on and lived your life in a life of poverty, whose fault was it? You received it. You had it there all along and never knew it. And it just reminds me, y'all remember Paul Harvey? On radio, I listened to his broadcast one day, and in short, he told about a man in Australia who was a poor man, lived in a, what do they call it, a mud hut, these blocks of mud that he'd built on his little piece of property. Lived all of his life in poverty in a mud hut, a dirt floor, and he died. And whoever it was inherited or whatever, but they found out that these blocks of mud was full of gold, and there was a huge deposit of gold on his property that he made his hut, his dirt, earthen bricks out of to build his house. Here was a man that lived in poverty, but was a very wealthy man and never knew it. And the sad part about that is a lot of Christians are the same way. They have received the gifts of God's gifts and His wealth of Himself. And yet they just keep on living a life of their own, and they don't know and they do not realize how rich you really are. You've received it, but you don't know it. And this knowledge of knowing, Jesus told us something in John, in the Gospel of John. I'll take you back over there. In the 8th chapter of John, 8th chapter, Gospel of John, verses 31 and 32, and Jesus was saying to the Jews and to us, folks, who have believed in Him, He says, if you abide in My Word, that is, continually obeying My teaching and living in accordance with them, you are truly My disciples. Then in verse 32, he says, and you will know the truth regarding salvation, and the truth will set you free from the penalty of sin. If you abide in His Word, by continuing in His Word, you will know the truth. Now, what is just the opposite of that? I like to look at things, and a lot of times I like to reverse it and look at the opposite. If you don't abide in His Word, you're not going to know the truth. If you abide in His Word, you will know the truth. And the key here, folks, it is the application of truth that's going to make you free. Okay? The application, applying it to your life, not the acquisition of truth. Okay? You got to apply it to your life. Live it day by day and hour by hour. And Jesus promised us, if you abide My Word, you are going to know the truth. Now, over in first, back over in 1 Corinthians in the second chapter, verse 9 and 10, and he says, but just as it is written in Scripture, things which the eye have not seen and the ear has not heard, and which have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him, who hold Him in affectionate reverence, who obey Him, and who gratefully recognize the benefits that He has bestowed upon us. Now, the thing here, we hear this a lot, that preachers preach about this verse of Scripture, oh, look what's coming in the by and by. No, Paul is writing this to us today. You will know these things today. These are, yes, there's many things that we don't know, many things when we get to glory that we're going to find out. But the things that God has for us now, the truth that God has for us now, is for now. In this life and in this Christian experience that you and I walk day by day. And guess what? We don't have to wait on it. We don't have to pray for it, and we don't have to beg for it. It has already been given us to us. And we can enjoy these things here and now. And because they are freely and already given to us, folks, just say thank you. That's all we got to do. Just say thank you. Accept the gifts of God. Now, I've made the statement several times over the years, and that many believers are so busy enduring their failures that they have no time to enjoy their faith. And this is so true. It never ceases to amaze me that believers continually, day by day, are continually failing. And they're trying to overcome these failures. I'm just failing. Folks, this is not to be in the normal Christian life. And because of their failures, failure after failure after failure, they keep so busy trying to overcome that they never have been able to enjoy the faith and the truths that God has promised us. And one of the thing that this world needs today is a quality of joy in their life that cannot be obtained through human logic. Paul tells us in Philippians, in the fourth chapter of Philippians, verse 4, he says, and we sing this song, rejoice in the Lord always, delight, take pleasure in Him. And again, I say, rejoice. Now, rejoicing is not some kind of a hilarious giggle or a crazy, uncontrollable laughter. No, I'm not going to go there. But rejoicing, that true joy, is a result of the application of truth in your life. You can live a life of true joy when you apply the truths of the Word of God to your life. When you apply the promises that God has given you, then you can experience true joy. And this is what this verse of Scripture is talking about. And this, the application of truth, this is the glowing experience of freedom. And I'm not talking about political freedom. I'm talking about the freedom from the penalty of sin in your life. We're free from that. Amen. It's no longer held over our head anymore. This are to make every believer excited, that we have this freedom and the consciousness. This brings a consciousness of the absence of burdens. I don't like to be burdened down in my life. Do you? we take these things, and like Jesus said, and we abide in His Word, He'll give us that freedom from these burdens in our life that they no longer take control of us in our life. And then we can have that unusual sense of uplifted in spite of all the pressures and circumstances that come upon us. Wow. We don't have to endure these things or be plagued with them and be burdened with them. And God wants us to be free from them. And it's sad in so many believers' lives, they don't know this. They don't know this at all. And one of the purpose of this study that we're going to be doing, and I don't know how long it's going to take. Don't matter. But is to take the truth of the Word of God and apply it to our hearts and our lives. That you can walk out of here and take some of these things that God has promised us and tomorrow morning apply it to your life. And start learning and discovering and know what the Word of God has told you, what Jesus has promised you, that you are going to know the truths. Now, we're going to examine some of the things that are freely given to us by God and the things given to us by His Holy Spirit, that they may be revealed and become a reality in our experience. Christianity is one of the hardest things, I think, to get across, to get people to understand. Christianity is more than just a religion. Being a Christian is more than just attending church, coming here on Sunday morning. Some don't even do that. Some come Christmas and Easter, or they'll come to a funeral. Christianity is more than just doing that. But yet, how many believers, this is what they have in their mind, that this is some kind of a religious duty that I have to do, that I've got to come to church, and then I'm okay before God. I've done my goodies for Him, and He's going to pat me on the back and say, well done. Nothing to do with it. We just read you a scripture where Jesus said you have to abide in His Word. Well, what does it mean to abide in His Word? What is it? Live in it. When? How often? All the time. Every day. Not just Sunday mornings, but all the time. Praying. I talk to Him every day. All the time. You know, we... believers, we have, folks, we have to develop a relationship with Christ. This may be a crude illustration, but you don't find very often a man will marry a woman he don't know. I guess there's such thing as mail order brides. I wouldn't want one. I know a good friend of mine, he's now passed, but he was a mail order husband. This woman ordered Willie. She brought him over from England, little short, white-headed German. He's a very good friend of mine, it was. Woman ordered him, bought him from England over here, and after a little while she says, I don't want him. Don't want him. I'm going to send him back. And her girlfriend, Barbara, the old Tennessee woman, says, I'll take him. I'll keep him, feed him. And she did. And I don't know, do you know, dear, how many years they were married? They were married for years, for a long time. Now they've both passed. Billy got saved in his later days. She loved the Lord. Barbara did. But that's kind of unusual. when a man picks a wife or a wife picks a husband, usually you get to know them. You build a relationship with them. The period of time is whatever it takes you, days, weeks, months, years, whatever it is. But you get to know that person and build a relationship with them. How can you build a relationship with Jesus if you just come to church on Sunday morning? Or even Sunday night? You can't. You've got to build a relationship day by day by day. You know, this Bible, I'm going to tell you something. This Bible not only opens Sunday night, but it opens Mondays. It opens up on Tuesdays. It opens up on Wednesdays. And every other day of the week, and it even opens up on holidays. Okay, it's never closed. It's always open. And you know, at home, if you don't pay your phone bill, your line gets closed and shut off. If you don't pay your electric bill, it gets turned off. Well, guess what? The prayer line never gets shut off. It's open every day of the week, 24/7, every minute of the day. It's always open, and you never have to pay for it. It isn't open just on Sunday morning when the pastor leads us in a prayer. But yet so many believers that come in here in these pews and sit down, that's all they think. Because they've never learned the truth. Now, there's two things that we need to understand before we can dig into the treasury of the truth. And one, that these things are already freely given to us from God. These secrets that we're going to get into are these keys, these truths that God wants us to know. And since they're already given to us, God does not have to give them to us again. Okay? If I give you a gift, you take it whether you use it or not, I can't give it to you again. Okay? God has already given, and it's there. And because they're already given, we don't have to spend days and weeks and years and asking for them and begging for them. And there's Christian denominations out there that's going to teach you, and I've been there, I've heard it, and some of you have too, plead with God and beg God to give you the Holy Spirit. False teaching, people. False teaching. When God says in His Word, He's going to give you a free gift, and He gives it to you freely, it's free. You don't have to beg for it. You don't have to plead for it. You don't have to wait on it. Go home and wait. And I've heard it, go home and tarry and wait that God is going to give you the Holy Spirit. No, that's false teaching. God's Word is true, and He says that He has freely given, and you already have. If you and I would just take what God has already given and just say, thank you. Do you remember what happened when you first trusted Christ? Do you remember when you got saved? Did you have to wait for salvation? Did you have to beg and plead God to save you? Things that God wants to give you and I as believers, the same thing. We don't have to beg Him for it. We don't have to wait on it. They're freely given. In John, the Gospel of John in the first chapter, I'm going to read verses 10 through 14. First chapter, Gospel of John, verse 10. He says, and He, Christ, in the world, through the world, was made through, and He, Christ, was in the world, and through the world was made through Him. And the world did not recognize Him, and He came to that which was His own, that which belonged to him, his world, his creation, his profession, and those who were his own people, the Jewish nation, did not receive and welcome him. Now, these next two verses is the key. But to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the right and authority and privilege to become children of God. That is, to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name. That's you and I. If we are children of God, if we're saints of God, he gave us the privilege to become children of God. But look what we're to do. We're to believe in him. Now, what does that mean to believe in him? And we've went over this before. And I like the way the Amplified puts it in parentheses. It says, to adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name. That sounds more than just a Sunday morning service message. Then he goes on in verse 13. He says, who were born not of the blood or natural conception, nor of the will of the flesh, that physical impulse, or of the will of man, that of natural father, but God, that is a divine and supernatural birth, that they are born of God, spiritually transformed and renewed and sanctified. Now, what do these verses teach us here? That believing is receiving, and receiving is believing. Believing is receiving. If you believe on Jesus, you have received from him, in verse 12, that right to become a child of God. And if you have received that, and then you have believed it, in order to receive it, you have to believe it. And that's the truth. It's also, in other words, take another word, it's called faith. And faith is nothing more than an empty, outreached hand ready to receive what God has offered you. And he tells us in Corinthians that he's going to give you these things that you might know. You want them? I do. I want them. And when we receive it, just say thank you. That's all. The second thing that we want to understand as we progress on with these studies, that we need to understand as we go into these studies, that we have received God's Spirit that we might know. Now, the emphasis here is on knowing, not on a matter of speculation or trial and error, but a definite, positive knowing. Now, the world that we live in is loaded with lies and uncertainties, and bewilderment and doubt. But the true Christian is the only one that can stand and say, I know. Nobody else can do this. Look at the courage of the Apostle Paul. Now, humanly speaking, Paul's life was a disaster. A man that lost everything. But in 2 Timothy 1:12, what did he say? I know in whom I believe. I know in whom I believe. Do you know tonight? Do you know for sure? In 2 Timothy in 1:12, Paul says, and I like the way the Amplified puts this, he said, this is why I suffer as I do. Folks, this may one day, if the Lord tarries, may be our Same quote. This is why we suffer as we do. Is if the Lord tarries, this world keeps going the way it's going. We may be suffering far more than you realize to be a believer. And Paul says, this is why I suffer as I do. Still I am not ashamed, for I know him. Some of your translation says, I know in whom I have believed. And I know him, the person of Jesus Christ. Not about him. I know him. And I am personally acquainted with him whom I have believed with absolute trust, confidence in him, and in the truth of his deity. And I am persuaded beyond any doubt that he is able to guard that which I have entrusted to him until that day when I stand before him. People, this glorious confidence that Paul had is the birthright of every born-again believer. That's our birthright, folks. That you can know and be persuaded and not be ashamed in who you believe in. It's sad, but God receives no glory when his children are caught up in the panic of this mad world and when fears and frustrations begin to come and invade every area of a godless humanity and find their way into the lives of God's own people. It's shameful. We've had some in the past where God's own people began to panic. Oh, I'm going to die of COVID. And folks, I'd be surprised, and I dare say there's more stuff coming. I don't know when, what, or where, but it's going to come. You don't have to be afraid of it. If you trust to do what God's Word tells you to do, what Jesus told you to do, you don't have to be afraid of any of this kind of nonsense. You know, we loved our dear sister Vina, and before her, many others that used to fill these pews that we knew and we loved. You know, God didn't take them home 1 second quicker than he intended to. When he was through processing him, he took them home. And guess what? When he's through processing you and you and you and you, he's going to take you home and me too. And there's not a COVID demon in hell that's going to take me home 1 minute quicker than God intended to. And you too. I love it. Curtis is back. Yeah. And it's the truth, isn't it, Curtis? Yeah. This is some of the assurance and the joyfulness. Because you have become acquainted with the truth and you've applied it to your life and now you know. What do I have to be worried about? Why do I have to run out and panic because CNN told me some kind of lie on TV? Okay? You know, fears and tragedies, they are present and they do exist. But the Christian is equipped with the provisions that God has for all of us. And he has the answer for all these things in our life. But it's sad that it's not so in many Christians' life. And there's many of God's people do not know and do not have the confidence which says, like Paul said, I know, I am not ashamed. And I will not fear. Instead, they live a life of fear, a life of failure. Yet the Word of God makes it very clear that we have received that we might know. And this indwelling confidence is not for a favored few. God has no favor of people. And this is not a quality of life that many call the victorious Christian life or the deeper life. many think that this is some kind of a super deluxe version, but it's normality. This should be the normal Christian life as taught in the Word of God. If it's not, and if it's not true in your life, then it's subnormal. James 1:17 says that every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, the Creator, the Sustainer of the heavens, in whom there is no variation, no rising or setting, nor shadow cast by His turning, for He is perfect and He never changes. God's gift. God has a gift for you and I. He wants you to take these gifts and open them up, and He wants you to know what's inside that gift. Okay? His gifts are always good and they're always perfect. And if God's gifts are perfect, and especially the gift of the Christian experience, then why do so many of God's people live in the shadows of fear and produce lives that's so inviting to the world? It's sad. Because they have received, but they don't know. They have never taken what God has prepared for them. If my experience as a believer and as my experience in my daily walking with Christ is linked only with what I have believed, and I never know the thrilling daily wonder of whom I believe, your life is a failure. Your Christian experience is a failure. Folks, it's not what I believed. It's whom I believe. God has many gifts for you and I. He has many truths in His Word that He wants us to know and understand, and He wants us to apply it to our life as we abide in Him. And God, see if I can put this right. I don't think God don't start out with the little stuff here and build up and build up and build up, folks. When you received Him, God starts with the greatest gift that God can give any man or woman in this world, and that's Himself. All the other stuff is secondary. God starts with the greatest gift, and that's Himself. And He wants you to know Him. He wants you to experience Him. But He lays out the conditions at the beginning. You've got to abide in Him. You've got to abide in His Word and apply it to your life. Not just think it and understand and not understand it. He wants you to apply it to your life because He's given us the greatest of all gifts, the most wonderful gift. We're going to pray. I'm done.